In 2006, a rock band comprised entirely of Asian Americans named itself The Slants, with the idea that it would reappropriate a term that has been used to denigrate Asian Americans. 5 years later, the leader of the band sought to register their name as a trademark with the federal government. But the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office said no, because federal law prohibits registration of a trademark that disparages people. That leader of the band, Simon Tam, then sued the government on the ground that the denial violated his First Amendment right to free speech. And today, the Supreme Court heard arguments in Tam's case. Here to talk with us about it is our Bloomberg Law co-host, Greg Storr, who's also Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter. Greg was in the courtroom today, and we're going to be talking to him about the argument. But first, Greg, why don't we talk about a decision the Supreme Court issued today, and then we'll get to the trademark thing. They had a decision about Fannie Mae, didn't they?
They did, and I'd love to tell you it's the most closely watched case of the term, Michael, but that's not the case. But it's still important for Fannie Mae. Essentially, the question is whether Fannie Mae was sued and tried to move a lawsuit into federal court. And often, big corporate defendants like to be in federal court. They think they stand a better chance of winning. And the Supreme Court unanimously said that there's a provision in federal law that Fannie Mae thought gave federal courts jurisdiction over any case involving Fannie Mae, and the Supreme Court unanimously said no, that's not the case. An opinion by Justice Sotomayor, so a setback for Fannie Mae, but really just about where Fannie Mae can be in court, not whether they can be sued.
So, Greg, now let's go to one of the more closely watched cases and one of the more interesting ones from my point of view, and that is the case about disparaging trademarks. There were oral arguments today. You were there. What was the main issue for the justices?
Yeah, it is a really interesting case, June. Federal trademark law does and has for 70 years or so say that trademark examiners can refuse to register a trademark, and we can talk later about what that involves, but it's a benefit for a trademark owner if the name is disparaging of somebody else or some other thing. And in the case of this group, The Slants, trademark examiners concluded it was disparaging, even though, as Michael described, that's not what the members of the band say they're trying to do. And so the question is whether that sort of distinction is constitutionally appropriate for the government to do. And the general sense in the courtroom, or the big question, was whether that was impermissible viewpoint discrimination by the federal government.
Well, on first blush, it does seem like, gee, they're just expressing something here. They're trying to reclaim something. It's very political. You'd think it's at the heart of the free speech clause of the First Amendment. On the other hand, what did the government argue?
Well, the government's argument is that they can still say it. Nobody's questioning their ability to call themselves The Slant. And in fact, they can sue for trademark infringement, for example, under state common law. The question, the government says, is whether we're going to give them this added benefit. This is a registry, and basically you can, if you're thinking about, naming your own rock band, you can go to this registry and see what names are already taken and make sure you're not infringing on anything. And it also, gives some legal benefits, some presumptions when you're in court if you're the owner of a registered trademark. And so the government says, it's not that we're prohibiting anybody from saying anything. We're just deciding whether we're going to confer a benefit. And when we do that, we have a lot more discretion.
But Greg, it seems as if there is too much discretion. I mean, there are bands who have been recognized trademarks, for example, NWA, Uncle Cracker. Those are bands that do have trademarks. And so isn't it viewpoint discrimination?
Yeah, that is certainly one of the arguments, and another way of thinking about it, although this didn't come up as much as I might have thought it would have, is that this provision in the law just talks about disparaging, and it doesn't really define what exactly that is. And so you do have these results that seem like they are inconsistent with one another, and that was the general sense in the courtroom, that there was real concern that the government did have the ability to say this name is okay, this name is not okay.
But the justice did have some concerns about how to draw lines here, didn't they?
They did. It wasn't, and they didn't get a whole lot of help from Mr. Tam's lawyer on that. You know, one question that came up that never really got answered was, how does it, you know, could the government, say a local government, have a Shakespeare festival where what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, talk about how great Shakespeare was? And, isn't that a form of viewpoint discrimination, but in a very limited context? And so what they seemed to be really searching for was to try to figure out how we could say that trademark is different from all these other contexts where the government might legitimately be able to say, in this particular context, we're only talking about certain things.
Greg, how did the Federal Circuit, which handles these cases, handle this below?
Well, the Federal Circuit sided with the band, Mr. Tam, and said that this was a violation of the First Amendment, which you know, essentially made it a guarantee that the Supreme Court would take up the issue. There is another case I should point out that involves the Washington Redskins that may come out the same way or may not come out the same way.
Well, you know, Tam's lawyer argued, if I understood his argument correctly, that there is a way for the court to decide this without getting to the constitutional question. That is, they could just sort of decide it on statutory grounds. Is there a way for them to do that if they find they can't draw lines?
Well, they could decide that this is just not disparaging, but that did not really come up. In fact, I don't think it came up at all in the argument. Would involve them making the kind of fact-based judgment call that the Supreme Court doesn't really like to make. It might be a way of getting out of the case if they decide they don't want to decide very much. But you know, this is a court that likes First Amendment cases, likes First Amendment issues. They weren't, you know, being shy about grappling with these big questions. They just were struggling a little bit to figure out where to draw the line.
Greg, thank you very much. That's Greg Storer, Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter and our esteemed co-host here on Bloomberg Law, talking about an argument today on a First Amendment case and a trademark case in the Supreme Court.